Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Do you really need confirmation that you're not making any sense? Unfortunately, apparently many of us do. We think we're making sense. We're making perfect sense. And then someone says, you're not making any sense. I said that to my brother once. We were debating. I had come back to the Catholic Church, and he had not yet come back. And at some point, I said, Mike, you're not making any sense. He told me later he was really upset that I said that. And then he thought about it. Came to the conclusion, I'm not making any sense. He's back in the church now, making more sense than he did. Good to have you with me here. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, the program. The Doctor Is In Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. That's why we're here now. It is a call-in program. You are the callers. I am the callee. In between us is an intermediary, Eric Dumont. He is the call screamer. You call in 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That is not an easy number to remember, so I go into the acronymic parallel. 877-57-EQUAL. If you have a question about something in your life, circumstances, people, situations, conundrum, puzzle. If you have a question that's generic, I love generic questions, I really do. Things like, what's the average age of this, or what does it mean to have a 140 IQ? What exactly is IQ anyway, Dr. Ray? I've heard of the diagnosis of schizophrenia, but what exactly is schizophrenia? Hypnosis? Past life regression through hypnosis? Is that even possible? Those are generic type questions that are fun. And if you have a suggestion to help somebody else out, it is welcomed. A lot of you are probably inside. A lot of you probably have the kids home from school. A lot of you are teachers who are home from school. I know here in northeastern Ohio, last night it was minus 14. You tell that to the people up in Real Presence Radio, they just giggle. Minus 14? We go swimming, minus 14. Break out the windbreakers, minus 14. But here in Ohio, we hunker down. And I'll tell you what, down in Alabama or Texas, you guys get to be 52, and you just shut everything down. Wind chill of 49. So the number to get on to the program, 877-573-7825. Once again, advertisement for taping of Living Right with Dr. Ray down at Ave Maria University in Florida. Been there before. Looking forward to going back. That whole community is growing like crazy. It's a solidly Catholic university. They tell me that the audience is filling up pretty good. And I don't know if that's because they're requiring some of the children to go. Well, children, young adults. But if you would like to be part of the show, and the audience is a critical part of the show, there's no question about that. You have to clap when you're told to clap, and loud. Go to Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, and you can sign up and make a reservation. Now, typically, sadly, we have a certain percentage of no-shows. Sounds like it's a wonderful thing to do when you're signing up, and then for whatever the reason, the time comes, and I hope it doesn't get down to about 60 degrees in Florida, because most of those folks will hunker down. 877-573-7825, that's the number for the show. Eventbrite is the sign-up page, real easy. They can just, you can just click what shows you want. Come to all of them, come to one of them, come to two of them on a given night. It's great to do it. Bring the kids. Yeah, bring the kids. We have a psychologist right there on the venue in case there's an emergency brat fit. All right, let me give you the number one more time. 877-57-EQUAL. I have joined so many of these anonymous groups that pretty much everybody knows who I am. I joined last year. I joined one. It was a procrastinators group. We haven't met yet. We haven't met yet. And then the one I'm joining next month is, I've signed up for it. It's a condescension club. I'd explain it. I'd explain it to you, but I really, really just don't think you'd understand it. Okay, enough of that. You want an indicator of the solidness of your marriage? Ask this question. Who would your spouse say that you treat the best? I've oftentimes pulled examples from the sitcom in the 90s, Everybody Loves Raymond, and there was one show where Deborah was just absolutely outraged at Raymond over something, and he hadn't really done anything wrong. She was just mad, emotionally just attacking him. And then the phone rang, and she went from a tirade to, "Oh, hi, yeah, how are you? Oh, are you getting me? Oh, that's great. Oh, I would love to. I think it's just so much fun. It sounds wonderful." And he's standing staring at this, how she went from 95 miles an hour down to 20 after two rings of the phone. Would your spouse say, "I sure wish that you treated me as nice as you treat the people at work"? "I sure wish that you're as pleasant to me as you are to the ladies at church. I hear you on the phone. So easy gone, so pleasant, so likable, so saint-like." You want your spouse to say, "The person that I live with, the person I'm married to, treats me better," if you want to tally it up in terms of charitable acts or kindness or forgiveness or servanthood, than anybody. That's what you really want to be able to say. You don't want somebody to come up to you in a grocery store, say, "You don't know me, but I work with your husband, and I have to tell you, he is the kindest, the sweetest, the most pleasant, complimentary person at work. The ladies absolutely love him. You are so lucky. You must have a just wonderfully pleasant, beautiful marriage." And you take out your phone. You find a picture. You say, "Is this the guy? Who are you? I don't recognize this guy that you're talking about." You really don't want your spouse to have to say that about you. And if they do, you got to look at yourself. You got to say, "Why am I so much nicer to so many other people? Why do I watch how I talk or what I say or control my emotions better?" Now, of course, the generic answer to that is, "Well, yeah, you don't live with them. Yeah, you don't have to every day rub up against each other and emotionally." True. That is true. It also says, though, that you have more chances to be kinder and nicer. You do. And the bonus to this is that there are very few people that if you treat them better, they don't respond. They may not respond much. Nowhere near like you'd like, but they will respond. Very, very few people will do what most people fear, which is they'll take advantage of it. If I start being really nice, they'll just run with it. They'll take full advantage of me. that's not been my experience. My experience has been people as a group, even in friction-filled marriages, do tend to respond a little more positively. So, who would your spouse say you treat the best? You'd like them to say you treat them the best. If they wouldn't say that, you ask yourself some tough questions. Why am I on better behavior with other people?
But Dr. Ray, it's just easier to be on better behavior with other people. You don't have to interact with them every day, and you don't have to listen to them every day, and you don't have all the kind of stuff that they say and do to get you all upset.
That's true. That is true. But at the same time, I said, if you have a good, solid marriage, your spouse is going to say, yep. When that woman takes out that picture of her husband and said, is this the guy at work that you're talking about that's so nice to everybody? And she says, yeah, it is. You say, yep, you're right. He is a gem to live with. 877-573-7825, 877-57-equal. That's the number. Sure would like to hear from you. I'm Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. Yeah, my mom used to say, Raymond, you'll never accomplish anything because you procrastinate. Yeah, I told her, you just wait. Just wait, Mom. Jack Williams, my boss there at EW10, tells me that Birmingham has a high of 24. 24 in Birmingham. Are they used to that? They get a half an inch, going to shut everything down. 24. 24. We go swimming. Anonymous wife calling from Texas. She used a very charged phrase, emotionally abusive, a very charged phrase. And that phrase is at the root of her wanting to abandon this marriage. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi. So I know that toxic and narcissistic are, I heard you yesterday, I know there are trendy words that can dismiss, I guess, what I'm trying to say. But I listened to Dr. Ramani, and a lot of the things she was saying applied to my husband. And I thought, well, I'm not gonna diagnose him. It's not like I'm not doing that. But I do see, like, I was able to see through that, that I am, how do I say it, that there's some things that are definitely not okay. In the beginning, if I disagreed with my husband, he would not, like, hit me, but put my, like, restrain me, he'd get really angry the more I disagreed with him, and I try to say, well, let's just disagree, and, like, and that doesn't affect, like, our stability of our marriage, like, we can coexist and, like, have disagreements, maybe later we will agree, but it's like he couldn't live with not agreeing, but then if I gave it to him, I'm not being genuine, like, so... It got to the point where I went to therapy and I realized, okay, I learned better how to communicate. But now it's to the point where we'll get to a situation where if he disagrees with me, he'll name call me really bad names. And I don't think that that's like, I think that is the problem, not that we disagree, because I feel like any disagreement, someone can, like, can still live through, I guess, like, still respect each other.
Are you still seeing your therapist?
I stopped. But with, I did talk to a priest. He knew a little bit more of us, like, prior to getting married, and he said that wasn't okay, a lot of the things that he was doing. And
especially if it's getting physical.
In the beginning of our marriage, yes, not like hitting me across the face, but like manhandling me for like grabbing my arm to like.
Has that stopped?
That has stopped, but that's because now I don't say anything, I disengage, and I don't talk back to him at all. But he wants me to agree with him, and he will like corner me. And
how long
like
have you been married, ma'am? Ma'am, how long have you been married?
3 years. 4 years. I don't.
Do you have children?
Yes.
It says here on the note that you want to leave your husband.
Yeah, because even when we were okay for a little bit, I just like it doesn't
matter
if I do
everything. Does he know? Does he know you want to leave him?
No, I haven't told him that yet. I've actually just tried to, like, prepare.
How do you think he'll react?
I talked to his parents. I don't know. I know he's told me that.
Are you dead set on leaving him for sure? There's nothing he can say or do or promise that...
I don't think he will change. Because I did everything. Like, I'm like, okay, I don't talk back to him. I got to the point, because at first I did get frustrated.
Okay.
And I would yell back
you're,
at him.
You're describing a very complex marital situation. And I know there's a massive amount of history and details here that wouldn't lend themselves well to me doing therapy over the phone. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. One child or two?
Two.
So you understand that if you leave, chances are he'll want to get 50-50. And so you won't have any control over how he raises those children when they're with him. You understand that?
He's a good dad. Yeah, and he's a good dad. He's nice to them. He'll like...
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think that a lot of it's going to come down to, for you to decide, if he is difficult to live with, disrespectful, calls names, for you to decide, is this something that is worth me leaving the marriage, splitting the family? Or is this something that maybe I can give him some options? That he
I've
will...
I've given him options before. I've told him if he goes to therapy, anger management.
He won't go.
He
won't go. All right, so I can't tell you what to do here. I don't know how this views, how this sits with your Catholic faith. I don't know. If you leave, are you saying, well, too bad, so sad, this marriage is over, I'll remarry.
I don't think like that. I just know, like, to me, I don't care to remarry. Like, I know what the faith teaches, like, I just don't think I'm doing him well. I think, like, I'm allowing him to do that, and he's doing it in front of the kids at times. So that's where I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, so my dear, what are you asking me?
Yeah, I guess I just, like, how do I discern that?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to come down to how much you allow his conduct to affect you. In other words, he can call names, but those names don't have to impact you the way they are. You could look at him like that's a serious problem on his part. You can say any crappy thing you want to say to me. I don't have to absorb it. You could do that.
That's how I've been living. The thing is, like, when he gets mad, and, like, I just sit there, and he's yelling at me, calling me horrible names, allowing my kids to see that.
Why don't you go talk to a priest again and get some sorting through of this? Because I really can't tell you what to do here or how to do it, because this is a 5-6 minute radio call. This isn't therapy. And I know that you'd like an answer, but I think the thing that's going to happen is you're going to have to see how he reacts, because you've never told him, I'm thinking of leaving this marriage. So it'll be interesting to see what he says. He may say, good, go, be glad to get rid of you, or he may be shaken and say, I don't want to lose you, I don't want to lose the kids, so I don't want to become a part-time dad, so what do I need to do at this point? My dear, that's just some thoughts for you. I wish I could give you more. 877-573-7825. Let's go to Michael from Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Michael. Michael, you there?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I would like for you to pray for my wife, Rita. She passed away on the 12th of January, the same date that her mother passed away, 13 years ago. And we buried her on the 20th, and we were married celibates. And we received a boatload of graces for that. She was a very good friend of the Blessed Virgin. And I just want to encourage people to reject contraception and sterilization. They can fast from each other for 10 days a month, and God will help you carry that cross. And he will give you graces that you will not believe. So that's all I wanted to say, and thank you.
You're welcome, Michael. God bless you, and may your wife rest in peace. This is Dr. Ray. The number is 877-573-7825. Question from the anonymous person. What do you do in marriages like that, that are... I'm reluctant to use the phrase emotionally abusive, and she knows that, because I'd rather just simply say they're just nasty, mean, hurtful, maybe. Dr. Ray, you're playing with words. No, because keeping in mind however much somebody's words affect you still is well within your power to allow them to ratchet up to hideous impact or to essentially minimize their impact. I know that doesn't sound right, Dr. Ray. People say hurtful things. Yeah, they do. But how much you're hurt by them is still your decision.
Hey, you're listening to the least worst of the Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarini.
I don't know. People say that if they get to heaven, they want to ask God some questions. I want to ask them, why did you wire life backwards? When I was a kid, I could have eaten as much as I wanted, could have slept whenever I wanted. And I fought both. I fought going to bed. I fought nap time. And I pretty much got up from the table all the time. I'm grown up now. I would love to eat more, and I would love to sleep more. But I can't. And I'm forced. Forced to look back on my preschool days and realize I let them slip by. Before I get to Janet here for a second. I also had my... That was just recently. It was, I don't know how long ago it was. My 50th... first grade reunion. Yeah, I know. They started doing that in my school. 50th first grade. I'm not gone. There's no way I'm gone. I have gained like 110 pounds since then. Oh, yeah. They wouldn't recognize me. You know, this is not one of those where they go, you haven't changed. Janet from North Carolina is, I hope, going to help me out here. Our first caller who clearly was in a situation that was complex. And I was slow to weigh in. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Okay. Help me out.
Well, I'd just like to weigh in. I actually was thinking about calling in to ask you a question in relation to, you know, my family situation. And then I heard the lady call in, and so I thought I would weigh on in on that as well as asking my question. I grew up in a home where my dad was an alcoholic, and there was a lot of abuse, a lot of verbal abuse, and you know, physical altercations between my parents. My mom was a devout Catholic, and my dad always promised to go to church, and I think he went a week or two, and then that went by the wayside, and then he's just rejected the faith and rejected God and criticized her for going to church and spending her time there. And so it was, you know, tumultuous for my brother and I growing up, and then even in our adult years, even when we're on our own, because the two of them were still together, to the point where I'm from Canada. I met my husband through Catholic Match, actually. So, you know, I heard someone mention that on the radio station earlier about Catholic Match. But so I moved down to the States, and I actually ended up calling the police from here to my parents' home in Canada after my dad left yet another threatening message, you know, drunk message on our answering machine threatening my mother. And I had enough, and I called the police back up there in Canada. They took him away, and he couldn't go home. He had to get his own place. It was just shocking to everybody, of course, and they separated. It had to be for 6 months. And then, fortunately or unfortunately, I guess he had to have heart surgery, and he did okay with that, but my mom felt sorry for him and took him back to the house. And over the years, I've had conversations with her about leaving, of course, and I just wanted to comment that so many times I wish, as a child, and a little child, an older child, a teenager, I wished that she would have left. I wished that I didn't have to endure that situation. I wished that I didn't have to listen to the things I heard and see the things that I saw, and I wished someone would have taken us away. I wish that she would have been on her own. We could have had a peaceful life. Hopefully she could have peace. And the issue still for me is that clearly I have these wounds, and they follow you into adulthood. They shape your life. They shape your personality. I know I have negative, you know, it's affected me negatively, which has then transferred, you know, into my marriage and the way I treat my husband or see my husband sometimes, or the things I do or say, or my personality, because of all that, of that situation and all the anger and all the abuse and everything. And I struggle because I am 51 years old and my parents are still together. My dad, now after I made that phone call and they had to separate, the one good thing that happened is that he quit drinking. So he's been sober for about 10 years now, 9 years or 10 years. But he still remains to be a miserable.
Why do you think your mom? Why do you think your mom stayed with him?
I honestly think that she didn't get the right advice at times from priests who had, you know, really solely influenced her to stay because of the Catholic marriage, because I got married in Catholic Church, even though she had every right to, she had every right to leave because of the way he was and because of the abuse that was taking place. And I think she always, you know, she always hoped that he would change. She always, you know, all of us spent, you know, we've spent decades praying for a change of heart and mind for him. But he just seems to get more and more hardened. Even when he had his leg amputated, he's a type 2 diabetic, had his leg amputated a couple years ago, and it took a lot of convincing, but we actually did have him, finally convince him to come and have a priest come, and after, you know, 50-plus years or 60-plus years, had like a sort of an emergency general confession and received the sacraments.
Janet, let me jump in here. Let me jump in because the break's going to cut us off. Obviously, the church would never say that a spouse has to stay in a marriage that is dangerous or very threatening, seriously pathological. They would say that there could be separation of bed and board. So that's one thing. The church would never say that your mother, who was in this nasty, perhaps physically abusive marriage, would have to say, no, I gotta persevere. No, they would say you have to make the decisions for your safety and the child's safety. Now, that said, I think the bigger question for you is, you're 51. What have you done to say, I'm an adult, and whatever it was that I experienced back when does not have to continue to influence the way I think and behave now?
I haven't worked on that.
I was going to say, that you feel trapped in the sense that happened then, so therefore it's automatic, like a reflex, A equals B, that I am the way that I am. I treat my husband the way I treat my husband. I have the insecurities that I have, whatever anxieties I struggle with. All of those are rooted 40 plus years ago, which...
Except, it's, they're still together, and the verbal abuse anyway, and the controlling and all that, and the way he is, and that just the miserableness and the arguing, and all of that is still going on. So it's not like it's just in the past. It's still going on, and I hadn't been there for a couple of years due to COVID. I couldn't get back home, and so last year I ended up going and staying for 3 months, and it was just awful.
Stay there, Janet. Stay there, because you raised a second question that I think is significant. So if you stay right there on the other side of the break, I want to chase that with you. 877-573-7825. That's the number to call to get onto the program. We're halfway mark, and we have lines open if you would like to jump in, please.
You're listening to The Least Worst Of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Appreciate the company. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Program Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Talking with Janet from North Carolina. Janet tells the very ugly story of her parents' marriage that was nasty. Nasty for years. And Mom stayed in the marriage. Janet was shocked at Mom's perseverance in all this, especially when Mom took Dad back after he had left for 6 months because charges were pressed. And Janet says a lot of that stuff that happened way back when reverberates and affects me now. And I asked Janet, I said, Janet, how is it, have you asked yourself, how is it that those events 40-some years ago are still affecting you now? And she said this. She said a very significant thing. She said, because they're still going on, because my parents are still together, and the ugliness still marks their relationship. Now, Janet, did I summarize that okay? Is that about right?
You did. It's a question that I've really thought of, you know, a lot over the last several years and struggled with, how do you begin to heal when it's not just something that's in the past, that it's still occurring, it's still going on?
Well, here's the question.
You think about honoring your father and your mother, and
here's why I think it's significant.
Force yourself.
Here's why I think it's significant. Because you are no longer in that world. As a child, you were. You had no choice. You were in the middle of that maelstrom. But you're 51 years old. You're living your own life, and you're far distant. I think what's bothering you is you're still very, very upset that your mom is still in that situation, and she hasn't done anything about it. And that bothers you enormously. And is there a part of this? Now, forgive me, I'm shooting from the hip now. Is there a part of this that says, you know, you kind of want your dad to be punished? I mean, he's been acting this way for 50 years, and he still gets away with it. He's still a jerk, and my mom hasn't done anything about it, and that just bothers me no end. Now, I shot from the hip on that. Did I hit?
You did partially, but I feel it's more of, I feel sorry for her being in that situation. I feel sad. It's a waste of a life for both of them, really, because of the unhappiness and the and
understandable.
Everything.
That's understandable. And, but to extrapolate I'm going to have to hurry you along here, dear, because we got other calls. But to extrapolate that into your own life and say, therefore, I have to be miserable. Therefore, I still have to be affected by their relationship, even though I'm a country away, and even though I went 2 years without seeing them, that you're allowing this to eat at you, rather than saying, it's sad, my mother made her decisions, for whatever her reasons, that's what she did, therefore, I can pray for her. But at this point, at age 51, I have got to start gathering my own adjustment toward my marriage, toward my life, towards my own emotions, and recognize that I do not have to be tethered to that. Not anymore. You don't have to be. I think psychology has really done a number on people. When they say, therefore, if you had a wretched upbringing, you're done, you're doomed, you're going to have a wretched adulthood. I'm going to assume you're a religious person. And I'm going to assume you have a lot of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to convert. So I would think that you would say, dear Holy Spirit, help me to put this all in perspective. I feel bad for my mom. I want her to be well. But she's made these decisions. And that, at this point, has minimal effect on how I run my life. And until you get to that point, you will still, at least until one or both of your parents pass away, and it may reverberate after that, you'll still be trapped by all that. God bless you, my dear. Go out, tell you, Tara from Wichita. We had a lot of folks spurred by the call. Yes, Tara, you're absolutely right, and I'll tell you why I didn't, but you tell me what I should have done first before I can tell you why I didn't. Hi, Tara. Oh,
hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm doing fine here.
And, I agree with so much of things that you say, and, you know, especially about I don't need to give other people the power to define my self-worth by their words.
I like the way you put that.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's very good.
I'm a social worker. Okay.
I knew it. I knew that was social work talk.
Oh, I know. I thought sometimes I feel like advising you on child protection because I worked in that for 37 years.
Oh, but, please. If you hear me say something that's off, because you know it varies from state to state, so you call immediately and correct me, please.
Oh, I will. But, I mean, you've got it right on. But when I listen to, so my protective service ears were listening, and this woman to me sounded like she was minimizing what she was saying and that she was timid. Women minimize a lot. Like, they'll say, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, you know, they don't always take care of their needs and they're taking care of other people's needs. But when she was saying things like he was saying horrible things or horrendous things, and so she wasn't swearing, okay, but I would have said to her, can you give me some examples of what he is saying to you? Or the same like with the manhandling. What does the manhandling look like? Is he grabbing your, you know, and I wouldn't give her examples because that's leading questions. But, you know, I would just try to get more because, you know, I can detach from a lot. But after a while, if someone's saying, like during my divorce and that, and really helped me in detachment and codependency. But inside my head, you know, I would try to detach, and I would say to myself, yes, and this is exactly why I am leaving you, because of what you're saying to me now and how you're treating me. And I would choose not to let him upset me,
okay,
but to use it as a reinforcement for my decision to leave.
Let me jump in here a second. One of the things, and you're absolutely right, Tara, if I were doing therapy with our caller, I would say, yes, can you be more specific? Can you give me examples? Can you describe situations? What do you do when he says that? What provokes that? What exactly is it? What are the triggers? Et cetera, et cetera. You're absolutely right. However, it was already a situation that was getting extremely detailed, and it was becoming very clear to me that this was a situation where there was no way that I could offer really much useful for her other than she's going to have to get some guidance on this. Because already we had gone into about 8 minutes, and she just was, she was interested in reiterating how miserable the situation was, which that was, made that pretty clear. And it, like you said, she decided that the best way to deal with it is to shut down. She just didn't respond. And I didn't hear her minimizing anything. Maybe you did, and you heard things I didn't hear. I didn't hear her minimizing it. I heard her wanting to leave, and so I gave her advice on the basis of that. But you're right. If this were a therapeutic session, yes, I would have gotten into much, much more detail. That's one of the great juggling acts of somebody calling in and trying to describe a situation that's enormously complex, and me not doing therapy here, just hopefully trying to educate a little bit. But I thank you, Tara. Thank you so much. Let's go to some, let's go to Rita. Rita's, oh yeah, I should take a break. You're right, Andrew. Thanks for reminding me. I am past break. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. Go to Rita from Columbus. She has a 20-year-old grandson who wants to join the Army. He has been diagnosed bipolar. Now, that doesn't really tell me anything yet. So I'm going to talk to Rita here. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Okay. Now, you're nervous that this bipolar diagnosis is going to keep him out of the Army?
Well, It's a long story, but my daughter looked it up, and she thinks that that's what she, the information she has seen, that they will not accept somebody with a bipolar diagnosis. And this is sort of, like I said, it's a long story, but this is sort of his last chance at life, period. I hate to say it that way.
How did he get that diagnosis, Rita?
Well, they adopted him at age 18 months, and he had, you know, a lot of things and problems, and, you know, I can't really remember or explain how they diagnosed it, but he had other diagnoses also, you know, and but you know, he's on medication now with a psychiatrist, and that's what he's treating him for. I don't know what meds he's on. I don't remember anymore, but that's, he's being treated with medication for bipolar.
Okay.
And when he goes off his meds, which he does sometimes,
what's he get,
on
yeah,
his
what's
own,
he get like?
He's, you know, he's not, it's not a good thing.
Does he get agitated? Does he get manic? Does he get depressed? What does he
well,
do?
Well, he just, he can't control his temper is the biggest problem.
Okay,
he
that's just, not bipolar now. That's not bipolar. The fact
okay.
that he's trip switch angry. I read a study once, and I and again, I'm not questioning his diagnosis, but I read a study once, I think it was Harvard Medical School, that they said approximately 50% of people, and this is typically teenagers, who are diagnosed bipolar are not bipolar. Okay, the diagnosis has been stretched. Now, I don't know. I don't, I'm not weighing in on that. Obviously, I can't do that. However,
surprise me.
It's going to come down to if this young man, because of his womb history, his first 18 months were probably neglectful and tragic, has had a hard time growing up. He's just in a lot of ways made a lot of impulsive, immature, deceptive type decisions. And as a result, he's trying to get his life together, and he thinks he wants to join the Army, and the parents are saying, yeah, he needs the discipline, but I don't think if they look at this guy's history, they're not going to accept him. A lot of it's going to come down to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist is going to say, in my opinion, here is what we're dealing with, here's what he's dealing with. Or the other thing you can do is they can go get a second opinion. And the other person may not diagnose him bipolar, may diagnose him something else, may diagnose him a conduct disorder. Who knows? He's probably diagnosed ADHD when he was 8, which I wouldn't doubt.
Yeah.
So if he's got like a whole bunch of letters after his name, I think you're going to have to explore what all those letters mean, because diagnosis is, it's not like diabetes, where you can say, yep, his blood sugar level is X, therefore he's diabetic. Diagnosis is a judgment call. In many cases, it's a judgment call. And it comes down to what does he act like because of this diagnosis. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, that's a good suggestion to go to the psychiatrist that's giving him. He doesn't see him, really, but he just gives the medicine, maybe, and Gina could explain that. But, I mean, in his own words, you know, he said, well, I've done the shelter life, and I just keep messing up my life all the time. And we thought this just a week ago, he had gone to JobScore, had an opportunity to go there, got accepted, lasted 3 days, punched somebody, and got you know, and got kicked out.
Yeah, sounds like it's more of an impulse control problem here for him.
Oh, definitely.
And so a lot of times, because of his mood fluctuations, a person can get diagnosed bipolar because of that, but that's not necessarily bipolar. For those of you we didn't get to, I'm so sorry. Please call back. You will be first up. Rich, I'm sort of familiar with that book. I've got a lot of questions about it. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Appreciate the company very much. Walk with God, the infinite walk of all lives. Someday that walk will bring you before Him.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.